Are you ready for today's message?
Amen.
All right, so today's message is called When Trouble Comes.
Oh,
has anybody ever had trouble come? Yeah, I think that's already hit a chord right there. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because, you know, Monty's been on my mind and stuff, and the idea is that's troublesome. And I think of Monty, too, you know, laying in that bed and you know, positive attitude and everything. But he doesn't know what's going to bring tomorrow, or what tomorrow's going to bring, or the next day, or the weeks after. Because I'm asking around, too, about, you know, when kidneys shut down, do they ever turn back on? In most cases, they don't, which means it'll be dialysis for the rest of his life, you know, however many times a week he needs to have that. So a change of life, you know, and all that. But in all that, you know, Monty really does have good spirits. And I think what he does, because like I told you, is because of the prayers, and he feels those prayers and knows that's what's been holding him through and through. So I think the message really is kind of tied in with that. There's my speaker here. So we know that we have troubles, and we know that there's going to be troubles, but there's a verse that's out there. But before we do, let me just begin with a word of prayer. So Father, as we look at your word and we look towards what you have for us today, I ask that you don't just give us what we already know, but you give us something that we need to know, that you put into our hearts that element of you into what this message is about. I can talk all I want, but really what counts is what God puts on your heart. And so that's what we're looking for here today. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide everything that's being done and that we do. We thank you for this sense of family. We thank you for just bringing us here today. And like as I say, it's for a purpose. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the first verse I've got is this one here, John 16:33. You've heard it before, but I'm going to put it right back out there again. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Does this mean you will not have trouble? No, not at all. But there's something about when we have trouble that God is there. And it's very, very important to remember that, because we get sucked into the world time and time again. And it really gets difficult for us sometimes to keep our eyes focused on Jesus when all these troubles keep surmounting themselves and one over another. Pete was talking about this past couple months there. He has had one breakdown after another breakdown on his vehicles and other things that and he's like, what is going on? Why do I have, you know, stuff like that happening? We don't know, you know, but it's all about really how you handle it. However, God speaks about this and troubles in our lives and how the troubles can influence us and how we need to be careful about those troubles overtaking us. Because, you know, there's a parable of the sower of the seeds, and in that parable there's four examples of the seeds being thrown down. One of them is on shallow ground, right? And it talks specifically about that, and that seed obviously is the Word of God, and where you accept that Word of God, and whether that Word takes root in you or not determines based upon you. But there's a scripture here that we're going to look in Mark 4:17. It says about this one particular where it just goes on shallow ground. He says, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And it's sad that you know, it's funny, when I first read this, it said when trouble or persecution comes from the where? Word. I was thinking world. Right? When it comes from the world, right, that can pull us away. But when it comes from the Word, that pulls us away. Why would that be? Other than the fact that when sometimes God's truth enters you, you start to see a little darkness in you that maybe you didn't see before, and you don't want to see that. You don't want to be corrected. You don't want to be told, reminded, yeah, that's a good one, that you really ought to be doing something. But when the word becomes, because of that, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, or because when you start making a statement that I have accepted Christ, and all of us, and you're excited, right? And your family says, "You did what? Why'd you do that now?" You know, and it's like all of a sudden, they're hammering on top of you, and you're like, "Well, why are you not rejoicing in my excitement?" And it's like, because they don't want God's word. You know, and so because of the word, there's so many things that can happen to you from this outside source coming in that causes trouble that you're not used to. And you know, like we are creatures of habit, right? We always like to go back into, the things that we were, especially when there's trouble. And if God has entered our lives, and trouble begins, seems to begin, right? Or really what God is doing is clearing house. And sometimes we don't like that clearing house. Is that we'll go back to where we came from before because we find that we can manage that. But really, you're not managing. And you're going to find that you're going to get sucked into more of those problems that you're going to have later on. And then we struggle though. We struggle sometimes because we look at loved ones that have passed in our lives. We've looked at people that have gotten cancer, and it's like so they get lung cancer, but they've never smoked ever in their lives. Why would they get that? People that have lost jobs that they're good people, and they become destitute. And these are even Christian people. And it's like, why, God? Why would these individuals experience some of that? And then you start to see other people that are non-Christians. They're not getting sick. Right? They seem to be, they're prospering in their lives, and they're prospering in their business dealings that are not good business dealings because they're literally stealing from people. But why is it that bad stuff, it doesn't happen to them, right? That's nothing new. We've been dealing with this for forever. Habakkuk, one of my favorite smaller prophets and stuff, begins with his three chapters, and we're going to end with the third chapter of that. But it says the oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. Right? How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Habakkuk knows that the people around him are doing wrong. Now, who are the people he's talking about? Are we talking about the Gentiles, the outside of the Jews? But they're the Jews themselves. Right? And so he sees injustices within his own nation, within his own people. And it's like, God, how can you allow that to keep going? Because if the Jews are to be a light unto the world, they're certainly not doing it. And for Habakkuk, who knows what we should be doing, being one of those prophets and understanding of that great relationship with God, it just isn't happening. And it troubles him. And he's crying out to God, do something about this. Stop that stuff from happening. Because it's causing trouble. And lots of it. And we can do with a lot less trouble in this world because there's already enough of it as it is. Well, why do people fall into this realm of getting into trouble? Well, Proverbs, which is really like, it's a book that has like mammoth amounts of like wisdom shrunk into like a two sentence thing or just a couple line thing. And I've got one here. Proverbs 28:14 says this: blessed is a man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Now, hardening of the heart is a pretty simple way of saying, I'm not listening to you, God. You put your hand up in there and say, oh, not looking at you. That's hardening of the heart. Because you don't want to hear what God has to say. You just want to hear what your tickling ears want to hear. and you want to be able to have the, you know, the blessings, well, God loves me and all of that. Well, maybe God is saying to you, stop doing that. Or maybe God is saying to you, just listen. Maybe God is saying to you that you need to get moving. Whatever it is that God wants you to do. And it, sometimes it comes at a very inconvenient time. But you know, that's part of faith. Is that we need to trust God and that His timing is perfect. But sometimes when it doesn't match out with our weekly schedule or a yearly schedule, you know what? God's going to get our attention some way. One way or the other. And when we start to harden our hearts to God, you see, that's when real trouble starts. Because if we're not listening to God, then we're listening to either ourselves or we're listening to the world. And you can only have one master. It's either going to be God or it's going to be something else. And we know that the consequences of having the God being our master is that we have a direct relationship with Him. And there's we as Jeff was saying about those little blessings that come day in and day out, we get to recognize those so much more. So that when the big ones come, you know, it's like, well, that's all right because that's just my God working the way He does. But when our master is money, when our master is just being prosperous, our master is being recognized by the world, those things fall short. Look at all the movie stars, you know, think of all the money they have and how many divorces they've gone through and, you know, the court cases and things that they're doing.
Depression.
Yeah, depression. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, I like to keep my life simple. And it really becomes, you know, just worrying about my relationship with God and everything else seems to fall into place. My job, other things. And then when we do have troubles, well, we'll look at it. But in this case here, we're talking about, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Now, are you fearing the Lord? And in the essence of understanding His almightiness, right? When we're looking at that. Are you looking at His almightiness when troubles do come about you? Or are you looking at those troubles? Right? So that when you, in this case here, we've got to be looking at the Lord even when we're in the troubles and when we're not in the troubles of going on it. I'm going to look at a couple Old Testament verses here about some kings and that really didn't see things the way they should have been seeing things. So we're going to go to Ahab first, and 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. King Ahab is, I don't want to say he's a famous one, but there's quite a bit of stuff written about him. During that time, there was the prophet Elijah that was God's spokesman's person. Basically, you know, King David has had his reign and died. His son Solomon had his reign and he died. And then the kingdom's kind of broken down. And King Ahab, I think he knows God, but I don't think he really wants to follow God. He seems to be influenced by other gods and stuff. And I want you to look at his reply as Elijah comes to go visit Ahab, right? And he says this. He says, Ahab went to meet Elijah, and when he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Now, what has Elijah done, really? Well, he did say that there's going to be like no rain here for like ever. And it's almost like what we're experiencing here for the last kind of week and a half, right? Can you imagine that for 3.5 years? No rain. Zippo. What happens to your crop? What happens to your livestock? What happens to your merchandise that's dependent upon the agricultural movement? It's just not happening. So, is he really a troubler? Well, from the eyes of Ahab, he is. But look at the response that Elijah says. He says, "I have not made trouble for Israel." Now, I love this response. But you and your father's family have. It's not me. It's you. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. The Baals are just another, you know, false god that they started worshiping. And they put the true God away and brought out these false gods, because the false gods are like, yeah, you just pray for what you'll get what you want. And, you know, you can sacrifice your children to the Baals and you'll be blessed. You know why you'll be blessed? You won't have the expense of the child. That's why they did that. It's not any different than what we do today with abortion. Right? It's the child's a cost. The child is, a time-consuming thing. I'll never be able to get that job that I want to if I'm pregnant. It's the same thing when we're looking at it. It happens today, the same thing that was happening back then. And it's like, you have brought the trouble on yourself by worshiping false gods and by denying the true God, the one that you know that's there. See, that's the hard part. They know there's a true God, and they decide not to worship Him, to not follow His commands. You see, that's what brings trouble. And then when you're in that realm of a position where you know things are not going your way and you're not really following God, you know you're not following God, what do? You do the blame thing. You are the troublesome. You are the one that's making my life bad. You are the one that's over here. You. It's never me. And you'll never see that. Because you're not allowing God to come into your life to correct your life the way He wants you to live, the way He wants you to think. Can you imagine worshiping a God that says, Mike, you really ought to be doing that. Thank you, God, for reminding me. You're protecting me from making troubles and stuff like that, you know? That's what He does. Right? He wants the best for us. And yet, there's times here that we can't even recognize where we are, because we're so far down deep into the pit that we don't even want to look out. We just want to blame other people for it. Here's another one. We're going to go on a little farther in 2 Chronicles. This is King Ahaz, right? In chapter 28 of verses 22 and 23. And think about this, right? Sometimes we get into situations where it gets so deep that we just can't seem to get out of it, right? And we've tried everything. You know, we've tried doctors, we've tried financial people, we've tried friends, we've tried, lots of things. And then finally we get to this point where it's like, oh, maybe I should start praying. Maybe I should start going to God, right? When the troubles become so bad. And you've extinguished every opportunity, every potential thing that you've done, and it hasn't worked. You've got nothing left. So I guess I'm going to have to go to God. And we call that bottoming out, right? We get to that point where we just bottom out. And sometimes God allows us to go there. But look at this. Look at this one here. In this time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. Seriously? When life is really going bad for you, this person here, this king of Israel, becomes even less faithful than what he was before. Right? So he offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus who had defeated him, for he thought, since the gods of the kings of Aram have helped them, I will sacrifice to them so they will help me. But they were his downfall and the downfall of all Israel. Think about that. That's kind of like saying, well, I know a guy that sold, you know, that played the lotteries, right? And he made $1 million. Well, if he can do that, I'm going to sell all my stuff and I'm going to go play the lottery and I'm going to win big. What are you putting your trust in? And then what happens is you don't win anything. You've lost your house, you've lost your spouse, you've lost your family, you've lost your job, all because you thought someone else won, I can win. You follow this trend. It's like, you know, someone's walking off a cliff. Well, you walk off the cliff too. It seems silly that people would do that. But we are silly people, aren't we? That's why we need God to hold this. Because if we don't do that, look at this. You think about it, a nation that conquered Israel. Well, we're going to worship their God so that I can become strong again. Obviously, their God is stronger than the one true God. But it's not true. The reason they were conquered is because of their unfaithfulness to God. Not because the other God was stronger. It's because of their unfaithfulness. And God was one true God there was really teaching them a lesson. Well, you've heard before too that people get into trouble by not doing what God tells them to do. Here's a classic example of that is Jonah. You know, simple story. You heard that in the children's message about Jonah and the whale and gets swallowed up. Well, can you imagine being in a whale's mouth for like 3 days? What are you thinking? Can't see him. There's probably no light in there. It's probably, you know, stinks. You know, it's just fish or whatever. It's terrible. Finally, even Jonah comes to his senses. Now, Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and proclaim the word that God had given to go to Nineveh. And Jonah really wasn't very obedient in that. In fact, he didn't want to do what God told him, so he ran in the opposite direction. So let's look at what he says right here. In Jonah 2:7, he says, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." Again, we get to that bottom pit. And at that point, we have to surrender everything we have because we've got nothing left. God doesn't want us to get to that point. God wants us to have everything that He has for us, no matter what we're going through, even now. He doesn't want you to fall that deep where you got to be swallowed by a fish and, you know, thinking your life is just being, you know, devoured by, you know, whatever. I can't imagine what that's like, 3 days in a fish. You know, it's just 3 days in a bed, you know, with light and, you know, people coming in is hard enough for me to do something like that. I can't imagine being in a fish with just nothing. Finally, he comes to his point and he goes back to God. Fish spits him out, and where does he go? He's obedient to follow God's command. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches to them. And you know what happens to Nineveh? They repent of their ways. Can you imagine that? By following God's thing, other people are blessed as well as you. It's just kind of an amazing thing that goes out there. That if we can just do that. So look at this other proverb verse I've got, 19:23 says this, "The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble." Oh, that doesn't mean that we don't have trouble. It means that the trouble around us doesn't consume us because our focus is God and what God wants of us. He wants our praise. He wants our prayers. He wants us to love one another. And when we accomplish those things, there truly is a blessing that goes with it, that we have life. We have purpose in the things that we're doing. It's not just a mundane routine that you have every day. You get up, you know, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you go down, or you eat, then you brush your teeth, you know. You know, then you go to work and you come back and you repeat the same thing over and over and over. Well, how can God use you today to touch the people around you who are having trouble and struggling and going through? Just a kind word, a smile, a hug, a hello sometimes means the world. You know? Those are the things that God wants us to do. And then the troubles that come upon us really aren't really troubles at all. They're just annoying little things that prevent us from worshiping God. And then we just kind of push those off to the side, you know, because they're not there anymore. Look at this here. We've seen this before. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But when we become like Ahab or Ahaz, we allow God to be distant because we pushed him away. We put walls up, filters of even sometimes, because, you know, guys are kind of compartmentalized. We like to have things, you know, maybe certain ways, and we can kind of zoom things out and, you know, allow some stuff to come in. Well, maybe we do the same thing with God. We only let God in certain parts of our lives, where God really needs to come in to the whole picture that's there. So look at this here. This is John 12:27-28. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Now my heart is troubled." Wait a minute. How can Jesus be troubled? How can he be troubled? Because he is God himself. But you know what's really neat about Jesus? Is that he has experienced everything that we've experienced. And that's truly what makes him an awesome God. Because he can say, "Yeah, Mike, I know what you're going through." And that comforts me, because it's not just sympathy, it's what they call empathy. When a person has gone through the stuff that you're going through and comes over and shares with you and lets you know, "I came out of that, all right, you can too. And God was with me the whole time." That's really powerful stuff. So this is at the point where Jesus is about to be crucified, going through that whole realm of, you know, the trial and the crucifixion. But look at this. He says, this is Jesus speaking, "Now my heart is troubled," because I can't imagine knowing what you're going to be going through. Not just the death of that, but carrying all of the weight of every individual sin, past, present, and future, on your shoulders while you died. And it says, "Father, save me from this hour." He says, "No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." You see, Jonah could have just glorified God's name by going to Nineveh right off the bat. It would have saved a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? Ahab would have realized that when Elijah came, that he wasn't the troubler, but he was God's word to those who weren't listening to God, to say, "Hey, you need to start listening to what God's saying." Or if it's Ahaz, who's gone through, you know, taken over by another nation, and said, "Do not worship their gods, but worship the one true God. Straighten your act out. Repent of the ways that you're going." Jesus is the ultimate individual that has no sin. And it's why he was able to become our Savior. But this is a perfect example that even though he was experiencing trouble, what he did was what his Father told him to do. The perfect example of what we are supposed to be doing. That though there will be trouble, "Do not fear, for I have overcome the world." Right? And he truly has. So we get back to Habakkuk, my little favorite guy there. And he says, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And he says this, right, at the end, after he's had this big spiel with God and talking to him, and just eventually he just kind of slows down and starts to listen to God again. And he says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines," right? There's your prophet, your crop is failing. "Though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food," right? There's famine. "Though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle, in the stalls. My wealth has disappeared. Right? He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. You see, your relationship with God is not dependent upon the wealth that you have in your wallet. The relationship you have with God is not dependent upon your job or, you know how well your children are doing. Your relationship with God is dependent upon how you want that to be. God is doing everything to make it right. We just need to be those obedient children of God, to listen to His voice. Because when we do, though we have troubles in this world, God will be there to be with us through those things. And as we've been talking about, that is what's holding Monty right now. That's exactly what will hold you when you go through those situations, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. Trouble will come, but God is there and always there. And we as Christians have the upper advantage than everybody else because we've got the one true God that loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us so that when we die, and we go before a judgment, Jesus says, this one here, got this one cleansed. Send him right through to heaven. Right? So, though those troubles may take us into death, it's okay. We've got eternity with God. Amen? Amen. All right, Lord, we just thank You for this word here today. And we thank You for bringing us for this word. And for just the sense of family. We pray for Your Spirit to move us, Lord. We pray for You to constantly, always be before us and that our eyes are upon You. That we are obedient to hear Your Word. Obedient to actually do what Your Word is saying to do. And Lord, it just seems like things fall into place and it's so much easier. And we know that the outcome that You have for us is a beautiful outcome. And Lord, there's a lot of people out there that do not know the Lord. Let us be the light for them, Lord. Let us be that Elijah prophet. Let us be the Jonahs that eventually come through and speak your word to those. Because others will be blessed as well. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.